You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
There are many things that distinguish the upcoming presidential campaign from previous ones, like the ways the internet is being used, the diversity of the people running, and the roles of a number of the candidates' spouses. Joining me now are New York Times op-ed columnist Gail Collins. She's talking to us from Iowa, where she's covering the Romney campaign. And also with us is Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist Connie Schultz. Mrs. Schultz has just published a memoir called And His Lovely Wife about her experiences on the campaign trail with her husband, Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown. Her book is published by Random House, and I'm very pleased to welcome both Gail Collins and Connie Schultz to my show today. Hello.
Hello.
And a little warning that sometimes during this discussion we may have to break away for a press conference from Mayor Bloomberg. I don't know if either of you are aware of just how terrible the transit situation is here in New York, but he's going to respond to it.
We've heard rumors, even in Iowa, about this.
Now, Gail, in the last presidential cycle, didn't your colleague Maureen Dowd chide Howard Dean's wife for deciding to continue with her medical practice rather than joining her husband on the campaign trail? Is that the sort of thing that we've been seeing over many, many years, or is that something that we're about to not see anymore?
Boy, I think we're evolving in so many dramatic ways as we go along. I mean, I'm absolutely sure that very soon we're going to be able to come to a point where you just really do have AWOL spouses, where they, Mrs. Dean, the day she claimed that she wasn't watching his debate on television because she forgot or something, it seemed a little bit over the top. But I think we're going to get to that, where just the way everything is so weird and so changing. We're not, maybe not quite there this year, but it's coming soon.
Connie, how has that worked for you? Because you've been balancing a career and the role of, at least I assume, the role that's expected of you is the glowing, adoring wife on the campaign trail.
Well, first of all, as a journalist, that meant that all the journalists in Ohio already knew who I was, so trying to pull off glowing and adoring wasn't going to work after all these years. And I was a Senate candidate's wife, which is different from being a presidential candidate's wife. I'm not running for anything. When you're running for governor or president, your spouse is running for first lady, or perhaps this time as first husband. So that's different. I want to jump on what Gail said. I hope that we are evolving and not devolving in our coverage. That's what's starting to concern me. And I realize that part of it is there just isn't a lot to write about right now. This is the longest presidential race we've ever seen, and so it seems to me that the wives have become far more rich targets for journalists. And as I wrote this week, I'm also concerned that women journalists are not taking the lead on, navigating the high road on this coverage.
Well, you said wives, but there's also a man here, and this is a unique situation. The first time an ex-president has also been a candidate's spouse. This is something that we've seen in Asia, but not in North America. And does that change the whole dynamic of this race?
I can't imagine it. You know, I was asked about it a lot on my book tour, and I kept saying that I just can't work up a lot of sympathy for Bill Clinton. I just keep thinking, welcome to spousedom, fella.
But he has to be the adoring spouse, doesn't he?
Play
that same role.
Been scrutinized, and we know every time he looks bored, every time he looks restless, he is definitely being scrutinized for how attentive. Right now, that seems to be the big thing. Can he pay attention and not be center stage?
Well, does Fred Thompson, who has not yet declared but probably will, have something of an advantage over other candidates because his wife is a political consultant? Or are all wives political consultants on some level? Have you functioned as
all
a political
wives are,
consultant?
Some ways, aren't they?
I'm sorry, Gail?
I would say all wives are, wives at least this time certainly are.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question of that. I think in any strong marriage, the wife has a big say. So that's not, why would it be different in a political marriage? So far, her advantages, supposed advantages, have been working against her in coverage. I don't know how much of it's true. You read that she's bossy, that she gets involved in her husband's scheduling and stuff. I don't know a candidate's wife who doesn't want to get involved in scheduling. If you don't, you don't see your husband for a year. It really can be that serious. She has a lot of experience, but right now the coverage suggests that that's working against her.
Well, bossy is a problem that a lot of candidates' wives have to face. Teresa Carey had to face it. Hillary Clinton sure had to face it. In fact, people were saying that she really was the power behind the throne. And in the 2000 campaign, Laura Bush was often described by pundits as the anti-Hillary.
Well, again, let's define bossy. I think it just means it's a wife with an opinion. And those are pretty much the only wives I've been hanging out with. Gail, I don't know about your experience.
So why are they bossy? I mean, is this because...
Well, bossy means they don't agree with the staff members, basically.
Shocking.
when you hear bossy, most people who watch campaigns do not actually experience seeing a candidate's wife being bossy. They hear that mainly from staff members who get angry for one reason or another.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Which goes to my concern about all these anonymous quotes. And the Vanity Fair piece in particular that just came out on Judith Giuliani is very disconcerting to me because I counted at least 45 individual references to some anonymous source. And we don't even know if there are four people or 40 because they're constantly identified as an endless stream of aides, former employees, former friend, a close observer. And, you know, people who aren't going to be quoted by name feel very free to say whatever they want, and they often have an axe to grind.
Well, Gail, you wrote a column about the Giuliani campaign and how it has tried to, as you say, launch Judith several times with little success. How does a campaign go about launching a spouse?
Well, it just depends on the spouse and how you want to do it. Judith Giuliani's in a really, really unusually difficult situation for all sorts of reasons. And if there ever was a time when it really might be a good plan for a wife to simply say, well, I'm right here rooting and you go for it and I'll, you know, be home when you get back, this might be the one, since she is his third wife, and the circumstances under which they met and married and he divorced were, you know, very messy and very public, and it's kind of not something that is a great help to the campaign to go into. And they began the whole thing, which I think is really a big mistake, by trying to argue that she was an expert, that she was an important consultant who knew a whole lot about health issues and at one point about bioterrorism issues and stuff like that. So, and she wasn't. So she sort of made all the different kinds of mistakes that you could make in one series of campaigns, and she's under a terrible, terrible spotlight. The Vanity Fair piece was very mean. A lot of it was basically complaints by staff who said that she was trying to get between them and the mayor. And the mayor's staff is just really full of kind of hangers-on who are exactly the sort of people who would be very angry about that sort of thing. So it's just a terrible mess. And if I was, which is highly unlikely, ever asked to advise the Giulianis about what to do, I really think this is a really good time to experiment with, you know, the wife who just doesn't go there.
McConaughey,
she'll be massacred for that as well, as you know, Gail. If she doesn't show up, again, we started the show by talking about Howard Dean's wife,
yeah.
And I'll never forget that painful moment when she got up on stage because everyone was wondering, where's Judy? Where's Judy? And she gets up and uses her married name, which she does not use professionally, but felt it was important to let everyone know their name was Judith Dean. And my heart just broke for her.
Absolutely. I'm hoping that was the last time that we saw in that one, you know, mistakes that we made, and that we can get to the point now or very soon where you can just say, you don't need to, it's not required that a woman who runs for president produce a spouse who's prepared to do all the first spouse things for the next 4 years.
We saw it with Hillary as well, didn't we? She was Hillary Rodham Clinton, and then she became Hillary Clinton. Perhaps because that's what she was being pressured into being.
Well, she did speak to me about that at one point because there was a big deal by some during the campaign that I had never changed my name, but Sheridan and I had only been married a year and a half when he decided to run, and I was in my, you know, late 40s.
And you had a career under the name Connie Schultz.
Yes. But Hillary Clinton said that to me, she said to me, don't ever change your name. And she says, you know, I was willing to do it eventually because I'm in politics. She says, this is what we do in politics. But I'm not. She says, you're not. But she also reminded me that it was staff. It was when Bill Clinton was governor. Staff took it upon themselves to change her note cards and eliminated her Rodham from her name, and she asked for them to be reordered. And When you talk about Giuliani, and being cast incorrectly at first, that sounds so much like a consultant's move to me. I can just imagine them sitting her down and saying, all right, here's what we're going to say about you. Here's what you need to look like. We're going to make you an expert. Even if it had nothing to do with who she really was. And this happens too often on campaigns, and I'm hoping that with some of these strong spouses we're seeing now, I'm hoping that is gone for good.
Well, we get
well,
a lot of...
Let me ask, Connie, it seems like there's also another thing that's happening right now that I found it's really fascinating, and I'm not quite sure we know how to deal with it either. You've really got a couple particularly, and I'm not quite sure how Fred Thompson is going to work his campaign, but with the Edwards campaign and the Clinton campaign, you've got two campaigns where you really are talking about a package. It's impossible for me watching the Edwards campaign to conceive of him as president apart from her. They're so completely, completely intertwined. And when you go to a Clinton campaign, it seems to me it's very clear that many, many, many of the people who are going there rooting for Hillary are actually thinking about it in terms of bringing back Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. I don't think we can ignore it. And one of the things I would argue, and I've tried to say in my columns recently, is if they're speaking publicly, if they're out there representing their spouse, if they're out there undermining their spouse, they're fair game in terms of news coverage. I think there's no question of it. But I couldn't help but notice when Elizabeth Edwards first came out about the recurring cancer, some of the stories started sneaking in that she also looked slimmer. And those are the kind of things that can really grate because they have nothing to do with what she's talking about. So that's what I want us to be careful about. And I agree with you. Those are two prime examples of couples where they are a package in most people's eyes.
So what happened when your husband was running, Connie? Did the consultants try to affect your role in the campaign?
Well, if they did, they didn't try for long, and I don't know that they did much of that. I understood that I was a little different, and you know they were going to have a whole other problem on their hands, they thought initially, because I had a book of my columns coming out right in the middle of the campaign. But I'd already agreed to do the book with Random House, and it was in production, and so there was all this hand-wringing, and oh my God, she's got all these controversial opinions. You know what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing came of it. And I am convinced that the reason Sherrod's opponent didn't use that is because women would never have put up with it. And what you see this particularly with Elizabeth Edwards. I don't know her personally. I've been with her once to cover her. And women love how outspoken she is. Women of all stripes. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what they do for a living. And they don't always have to agree with her, but they love that she steps up and she speaks candidly because that's who they are in their own marriages. And that's a person they can identify with because no matter what else is going on with her, they can identify and say, you know what, she's like me on this, or I can agree with her on that, and they feel so much more comfortable with her. So the idea that a strong wife is necessarily going to be a problem for a candidate, I don't think it's true. It's what that strong wife does.
Well, we have mixed messages here, don't we? Candidates often speak glowingly about their spouses as their closest advisors. In the 1992 campaign, the Clintons declared that America would get two presidents for the price of one. And now, actually, it looks like if she wins, they will get two presidents for the price of one.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those bargains out
well,
this year.
We're
awash with them.
Elizabeth Edwards visited this show a few months back, and we're going to go into a break now and hear what she had to say during her visit here, and then we'll come back and talk more. My guests are Connie Schultz, who knows something about being a candidate's wife, also about writing. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, and she has a new memoir called And His Lovely Wife, a memoir from the woman beside the man. Also, Gail Collins of The New York Times.
Even after all this time, I'm not certain what a spouse can accomplish. I mean, I think that a spouse is a good window onto a candidate. On the other hand, you're not the candidate, and so you can talk about the policies and things, but you need to find a way, if you want to be effective, to reach people who are not just true believers and think it's a gesture of support for your husband or your wife to come out and listen. You have to find the people that you can actually convince, and I don't know that anybody's figured out how to use a spouse in that kind of an effective way.